I've got a specific word on my heart this morning. The Lord, as I was praying, the Lord showed me a picture of an anchor that was being like dragged, you know, on the seabed like that, and then also a picture of a spade, and then he also took me to John chapter 18. I want to read there, verse 37 and 38, Jesus being questioned by Pilate before the crucifixion, and you can see there Pilate asking him, so you are a king? Because obviously he was labeled a king of the Jews. And this is the problem that the Jews had with him. And Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who's of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth? What is truth?" And that's just what I feel this morning, that, you know, and we experience it out there in Tableview. I always maintain that the coastal towns around our country, and I've done a fair bit of traveling around the country, and I'm always a bit sad if I've spent some time in a coastal town, because very often you find quite a bit of sort of deception and some fuzzy thinking and weird and wonderful ideas and belief systems, and you get all these like kind of little mystic little shops and, you know, little fairy type of shops and so on, very often in coastal towns. You know, maybe walk around Colt Bay is probably a good example, and you know, Tableview, Blouberg, Knysna, and so on. Beautiful place, and the Lord has really blessed it, but the enemy's really come in like a flood, and there's a lot of sort of confusion reigning, a lot of different ideas, and people, you know, and in Tableview, we've had it, you know, reaching out to neighbors, having dinner at our neighbor's house. We had them over for dinner, then we went to them. Now, they had this coffee table sort of in the middle of the lounge, but it had a glass top, and it was sort of a cushy, you know, inside. And then there was like sort of sand there, and there's all this whole little fairy scenes, and there's dragons and all sorts of things. You know, that was like their centerpiece in their lounge. And then, you know, on the wall, a picture of this, you know, red Indian man, some whatever Sitting Bull or whoever it is, you know, and these people, this lady especially, but you know, the husband was there, they were definitely in unity. They had, you know, they basically had their own religion that they had going there, their own belief system, and they were quite intent on, you know, really sharing that thing and so on. So we really had to pray for our food that night. And But there's a lot of prevailing confusion and controversy and different belief systems. I mean, you guys are out here in the big city and you're working, and so it's a really cosmopolitan. If you look at the cross section of your colleagues and so on, you'll probably recognize there's a variety of beliefs out there. And it's more important today than ever before that we know what we stand for and what we believe in. Because if we're unsure about things, then by definition, we'll be open, and the itchy ears will be lent out to maybe listening to or believing in something that is not quite in line with the Word of God, you know. And that is what a heresy is. It's a half-truth. Half-truth so often, and the enemy loves doing that, is, you know, that it will touch the truth on points, but it will veer off again. And even if you 1 degree off at the onset, you end up at the wrong destination. So it's very important that we get grounded in the truth of the Lord and the Word of God. So there's, the Bible speaks of many different deceptions out there, but basically it says that if we have any doubts, we are double-minded, we are unstable in all our ways. You know, and that's not, that doesn't give you a lot of confidence that you're going to make a success according to God's definition of your life, if you are unstable in all your ways. Okay, so we cannot doubt, we cannot be confused about this thing. We need to understand Jesus came to reveal the truth to us, the truth about who God is and His plans for us. And so we need to come to terms with what is truth. And there's such an assault and an attack on truth today. I mean, there's a new religion out there that's kind of gaining momentum, and it's called Chrislam. It's a combination of Christianity and Islam, and it's being propagated by some really prominent Christian leaders in America. Really scary stuff. I'm not going to name names or anything. I mean, I appreciate that we must go and investigate some more. But I mean, maybe you should Google that and whatever, because this is the kind of pervasive realities for a lot of people, and we need to be able to counter that. The Bible says that we always need to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in us. So we need to know. The other day, a guy knocked on my door, two guys, okay, and you know, wanting to put a foot on the threshold there, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, and God loves them, really. But they interpret the Word of God through a specific prophet, and they veer off course. And specifically, you know, when it comes to the elect and so on, and they've got the 144,000, and, you know, so they're preaching a different gospel. And the Bible warns us of that. Paul writes in to the church in Corinth, who was a church that operated in the supernatural, and they're very spiritual and deep, and, you know, really wanting to grow and everything. And he warned them, you know, you guys are really, you're running at full speed here, but let's just keep in mind that there are deceptions out there. Watch out if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus, or if, because you are open to readily accepting a different gospel. So we've got to be aware that there are, you know, there are churches out there that are not preaching the Word of God, and we need to be aware of that. And so I'm not knocking any specific churches or denominations, but what I'm saying is that we need to know what we believe. We cannot be confused. Otherwise, we must seek God for the things that we're unsure of, or if there's whole character traits of God that we still need to get revelation on, we need to ask Him, Lord, reveal Yourself to me, you know, as my Father, as my loving Father, Lord, because I don't know what a loving Father looks like. I never had a loving Father yet, but no reference or framework. Reveal Yourself to me in that way, whatever it might be. He speaks to Timothy. And the book of Timothy, obviously, 1 and 2 Timothy is written to Timothy. He was pastoring the church in Ephesus, a church of about 1 million believers, and obviously he had small groups, because I don't know how you fit 1 million people into church. But he needed a lot of wisdom and advice, and so Paul would instruct him and also warned him of all the dangers out there. And, you know, he's also told Timothy about the different doctrines that are out there, myths, and endless genealogies. Read their, you know, evolutionary theory. Deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. You know, people that were really steeped in, still in the very kind of religious ritual and ceremony way of doing things and denying the grace of God. Irreverent and silly myths. Teaching a different doctrine again. You know, having itching ears, turning away from listening to the truth and wandering off in myths. There was a lot. He had to constantly remind Timothy, watch out for heresy, watch out for this and that. So yeah, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they knocking on the door, and it was great timing because I just had my quiet time. Okay. I was there, I was in the zone, okay. And they knock on the door, and they're like, no, you know, he's got his Bible there, and he wants to tell me about the Word of God. I'm like, great, man. And I just, my Bible was right with me. I'm like, oh, I've just spent time in the Word, and it's awesome. And, you know, and so he asked what I do and everything. So I'm a pastor here of a church and everything. And he's like, it's great, man. And he's there. He wants to go off and everything. And we had a, you know, and I just was reminded of the scripture, always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you. And just, I chatted to him. We chatted, you know, exchanged ideas and everything. And the bottom line is, he was this old guy, and he was obviously training up this younger Jehovah's Witness and everything. He just kind of stood back and didn't say anything. And this old guy, basically, he had no assurance of salvation. You know, they've got no guarantee that they are going to make it, you know, to heaven one day. And the Lord doesn't want that. My child doesn't, you know, I don't want him going through life wondering whether, you know, he's my child and whether I love him. God is a good father. We are evil fathers compared to God. And we know from the Bible, the Spirit bears witness that we are children of God. We have that assurance as believers. And I could just challenge him in that. We need to know what we stand for. We need to know the truth. So he went away there with a couple of questions and things to think over. And, you know, I just challenged him to just, you know, pray about that kind of thing. So, Colossians, yeah, Paul writes also, you know, philosophy and empty deceit. I mean, how many people do we know and they're just going off ranting and raving? A lot of ideas, a lot of funny ideas. We need to be able to counter that with the Word of God. The truth sets us free. We speak about freedom and so on. Jesus said the truth sets us free. We need to know what the truth is. And a lot of religious thing again, people that judge each other in food and drink regarding festival, new moon or Sabbath, etc., etc. The Lord came to change Jews into Christians, not Christians into Jews. And there are whole movements of churches that are trying to take up, you know, Jewish traditions and things like that. And, you know, we sort of jokingly refer to it as Israelitis. And so you must be careful. You know, it's great to go on a pilgrimage and go and see the holy site and to walk where Jesus walked, and that's great. Go to Israel. Don't come back with Israelitis. Take your injection before the time. Know that Jesus was a Jew, but he came to make people Christians. And, you know, he actually was a rock of offense to the Jews. So he talks about in Colossians there also asceticism and worship of angels. You know, people are doing all funny things. Asceticism, that is where you abstain from worldly pleasures in order to gain some kind of a spiritual goal, like religious fasting of the monks and so on. Remember there was that ad, I don't know if it was Moni's or some kind of a wine, where this monk is sitting, you know, with a shaven spot there, and there's this bunch of grapes in front of him, and he's like, yeah. I don't know if you remember that, that's a long time ago. Okay. And eventually he takes a grape, he's like, you know. So he was breaking free, man, lose the religion. Okay. Jesus is our only foundation. Matthew 16, you know the scripture. I was going to go through it very quickly. Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, that some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then he asked him, but who do you say I am? I want to tell you this morning that truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ. Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when Pietri discovered this truth, you know, a long time ago, his name obviously comes from Peter. He was a little bit distraught for a little while, I think, because Peter means little rock, little stone or fragment of a rock and so on. And, you know, obviously in this scripture, it sounds at face value, some people interpret it as, you know, Peter, the man Peter, he was now the foundation of the church and whatever. And that's actually not Jesus intended, what he intended when he said that. And so most scholars today would agree that what Jesus is saying, the rock upon which the church of Jesus Christ will stand, against which the gates of hell will not prevail, is the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. Peter was only one of the small living stones that the church is built upon, and we all form part of the church of Jesus Christ. We're all living stones. And in terms of the foundation, Peter was only one part of that. What we mustn't miss is that this is the important truth, the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. That is the foundational truth upon which we build our faith. That is the thing that all believers and the beloved and those going to heaven one day have in common, is we recognize Jesus as the Son of God and our Savior, the one who died, paid the price for our sins, the one from whom we can receive forgiveness. So He is our foundation. And, you know, Jesus, when He spoke and when He taught, and we see it in the parables, He often used sort of earthly examples to reveal a heavenly truth. And so, you know, He's very clever in how He dealt with the people, and that's why He used Peter, which means now, you know, a little fragment of a stone, to reveal the bigger truth and the rock upon which the church of Jesus Christ was to be built. The revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. How do we build on Jesus? Sorry if I'm going very fast. I am breathing. Matthew 7, we build on Jesus in this way, verse 24 to 27, is by spending time in the Word of God and doing what with the Word of God? Exactly that, doing the Word of God. So it says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And that rock is also referring to Jesus Christ and the revelation that He's the Son of God. But ultimately, you know, the Bible we say is Jesus in print. This is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. He's a sword. This is Jesus in print. And we need to obey that Word of God. If you do not apply the Word of God in your life, it will profit you nothing. It is not good enough just hearing the Word of God. It's not good enough just sitting in church. We need to apply the Word of God. Church happens 24/7, Monday to Sunday is church. This is a celebration. This is where we come together as family and celebrate what God has done for us. You know, and a sermon can be a nice little message, or you can go and do something with it. In James 1, the scripture's not up there. There James writes about the man who doesn't do the Word of God is like a man who looks in a mirror and then he walks away and immediately forgets what he saw in the mirror, forgets the type of man that he was. And that's a picture that one can maybe just meditate on for a second. But the point is, and why you often hear similar messages or similar truths and principles coming at you every Sunday and every Wednesday night and whatever it might be, is because we as humans need reminding, because we tend to be forgetful. We're not like the elephant in that way. Okay, so we tend to be forgetful, and so we need reminding constantly. That's why often you'll get preachers that are very repetitive, and your Andy Stanleys and whatever, but they're actually great preachers. And he says to his congregation, some of you know Andy Stanleys, and he says to his congregation, you know, a lot of people don't think I'm a deep preacher, but I want to tell you I'm really a deep preacher. I'm really a good preacher. Because he says, the people that are labeled deep preachers are people that preach something and no one understood what they were saying. So then afterwards people say, oh, that was so deep, you know, whatever. But meantime, it didn't help anyone anything. He says, no, he's a good preacher because he maybe repeats himself, or he makes things so clear that people understand exactly what they need to go and do. And that's what a good preacher should be. You know, not, it's maybe not a compliment to be a deep preacher, because then people actually haven't caught what you're trying to say. So maybe I think of myself more in the mold of Andy Stanley. I'm not trying to, you know, blow my own horn here, but yeah, I try and make things simple for you this morning. But there's something that's maybe a little deep that you can go and pray about. Oh, mirror, what does it mean? Okay. If you don't do it, you will forget it. And that's why I'm really big on, you know, it's a culture that we still need to get going, you know, in our church out there in Tableview, is that we really respond to what God is saying. You know, the Bible says, call on me when I'm near. There is a place where we need to recognize God is trying to tell me something now. And, you know, I mustn't harden my heart. The Bible says when He speaks to us, we mustn't harden our hearts like the Jews did in the days of rebellion. We must be receptive. In other words, God is awaiting a response. When you get hit with the truth, it demands a response from you. You either need to accept it or reject it, but you need to do something. And so what I'd like to see happen in church is that we respond to the Word of God, that when there is an invitation to respond, to pray about it here and now, that we do that. Because what will happen is we're going to go out there and suddenly other things start coming at us, and our minds and our imaginations get occupied by all other things, and we forget. We forget often, and we lose it. You know, strike while the iron's hot, that old thing. We kind of lose it, and we fail then to apply the Word of God. And next Sunday, we're no further down the line than what we were this Sunday. And what God is trying to do through us, you know, church is great, and it's a celebration and everything, but it also forms part of our discipleship and growing in Christ, and we're meant to be growing from strength to strength. And so something that I pray for and would like to see is that people respond to the Word of God when there is opportunity. I appreciate that some people have already dealt with certain things in their life. But, you know, I always believe that the Lord has something for everyone when, you know, when the Word is spoken and when we look at Scripture. So, I mean, you can read the Bible every year through the whole Bible and you'll read the same verse every year, and it's going to feed you. It's going to, you know, it's going to do something for you and it's going to evoke a response from you. And so we need to get to that place. Knowledge isn't good enough. You know, and we live in the knowledge age, the interwebs and so on. Everything is out there. All knowledge is on the internet, hallelujah. And all the lies in the world are on the internet also, hallelujah. And you need great discernment. And there's a lot of Christian sites and so on that you know, you're really going to have to spit out a lot of bones if you go there and read what that's all about. Okay, so I want to encourage you also, You know, this is your primary place of feeding. This is your family. This is where God wants to grow you. Don't have a bouquet of 50 preachers that you listen to on a regular basis, because it's not the balanced diet that the Lord wants to give you. You know, if you want a good, you know, physique or whatever, you need to train and you need to watch what you're eating and so on. You are what you eat, and it's the same with spiritual food and who you're listening to. Because God wants to take you in a direction, but if you're listening to 50 preachers that are going in their different angles, you're not going to be any closer to where you need to be. Okay, so we need to watch that. And you guys are really blessed to have really strong teachers in Shofar Gardens. You know, other teens, he's been given the gift of teaching. And so I really admire him and look up to him for that. But when it comes to knowledge, not enough. You need to get to understanding. But between the two, what you need to add to knowledge to get understanding is revelation. Knowledge plus revelation brings understanding. Then you can't leave it there at the understanding. Now you know what God is saying. You know, you've prayed about it, you've meditated on it. Now you know what God is saying to you. Now you need to get to wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. So you need to add application to understanding. So it's knowledge plus revelation equals understanding plus application is wisdom. We need to be wise men that build on the rock. Foolish man builds on the sand. When the storms come, the house on the sand will fall. You need to be a wise man because the storms are coming. People, economic crunch time. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Okay? But who cares? Because we know where we're going. All right? And God, He guarantees us our basic provision. So yes, you might lose your car. Yes, you might do that. And that's, you know, that's disastrous for some of us. But God guarantees we'll be okay. We'll survive. And you know what? The world will come running to us, and they should. But they only will if we know what we're talking about, if we're living the truth of the Word of God. And so you need to know what you're talking about. When you're in a conversation with someone else and they like trying to bombard you with their ideas and whatever, you know, the Bible says we need to be gentle. We need to be gentle. I'm going to fast forward a little bit here. I'm running out of time. 1 Peter 3 verse 15, I said earlier, you need to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you with all gentleness and respect. Okay, we don't fight with people. We don't argue with people at work and so on around the water cooler because it's more interesting than doing the work. You know, we must be gentle with people and respectful. So if it comes down to that, then you can say, let's agree to disagree and, you know, make the guy a cup of coffee or something. But when the storms hit, the storms are going to hit all of us. And that guy's house is going to fall down. And he's only going to come to you if he knows you didn't budge on what you believe in. And that when the storms hit, you still got a smile on your face. Your car was also taken away, but you're not freaking out, you know. Then he's going to come to you. And we find that. I remember C.S. telling stories of other people used to come and just sit in his office because they say, but it's so peaceful here. And they just experience something of the presence of God there. The other day, Ralph also spoke about how the guys at work, they just come and they just start opening up to him. You know, people that wouldn't normally say stuff. And it's because the world out there can see that we believe and we know what we believe in, and we're not falling around like people that are double-minded and unstable in all our ways. There's a certain stability. God wants us to have a certain stability in this life. We are not falling around when the waves hit and whatever. Our house is standing. And that's going to be the testimony. And that's why our light is going to shine brighter than ever before when the trouble comes, when the wave hits. And that's what we've got to tell the people. There's a big set coming. We're living here at the sea. We know about surfing. There's a big set coming. Okay, we need to be ready. You need to know what you believe in. Otherwise, those waves are going to toss you and turn you. Okay, I want to pray for us this morning. And I really want to trust God just to speak into our lives this morning, and that we will really go and with more urgency, that we will seek truth. That we will seek truth. That we'll seek who is Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? Because there's a lot of different Jesuses out there. You know, who do you make him out to be? Who is he to you? Who do you let him be? Because he's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anyone. And we've got to realize that we've grown up and we may be 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old, or whatever. And maybe we're only coming really to know who God is now, but we've had a lot of ideas about God and religion up to this point that we need to wipe that slate clean, because we need to build a foundation. The only foundation that will stand is Jesus Christ. We cannot add him on to what we already have in our ideas. You need to say, Lord, I come to you with a clean slate. I renounce every lie that I've heard, everything that is a half-truth or whatever, Lord, that it sounds lacquer and it sounds like, you know, I would love to incorporate that. No. Jesus, you reveal to me, who are you? Who are you, Jesus? Because that's what Jesus is asking of us. Who do you say that I am? Let's pray. Lord, we just want to give you thanks this morning. We want to give you thanks, Lord, that we can trust in you. We can trust in your word, Lord. Your word is God-breathed. It's profitable for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and complete. Lord, we thank you for your word that has been given to us, Lord. Lord, we recognize truth is a person. Jesus, you are the truth. You've come to set us free. You've come to reveal truth to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. You are not the author of confusion, Lord. Lord, and where we might be unstable in certain areas or doubtful or fearful, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that your desire is to speak a word of truth into that area, Lord. One word from you, Lord, can turn our lives around, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will highlight, that you will search our hearts, Holy Spirit, and reveal to us the areas where we are, Lord, where we are battling, where we are struggling, Lord God, where the truth hasn't been established, Lord, where there's another thought or idea that wars and exalts itself against the knowledge of who you are. I pray that you'll reveal those areas to us. Those uncertain areas, Lord God. Those places of confusion in our lives, Lord, that you'll reveal that to us, Lord. That we can invite you and search you, Lord, to speak a word of truth into that area. Lord, we pray that you will establish each one of us on the rock of the truth of who Jesus Christ is, who you are, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord God, that you know us. And you're inviting us to know you. Lord, that we will recognize we cannot live without you. That we need to know who we're coming to, who you are, Lord. And where we have made you out to be something that you're not, Lord, that you will correct us. Thank you that you always work gently with us. There's no condemnation here. But Lord, I pray for an openness and a willingness, Lord God, that each of us would go and search our spiritual roots in a sense, Lord, and that we will, by your help, Lord, that we will identify if there's been any lies or half-truths that we've allowed to remain in our lives or that have crept in over time, Lord. There is so much deception out there, and we've had warning earlier this year that there was such a wave of deception coming against Cape Town. Lord, establish us in your truth, Lord God, that we will know. We will know our God. I pray that this church and each individual member will know their God, so that we can be a testimony to those out there that don't. Lord, that when the waves come, when the rains come and the floods rise, and things start shaking, Lord, that the people whose houses fall, that they will run to us because they will recognize. They will see our houses are still standing, theirs is flattened. They will know who to come to, and they'll ask, what must we do to be saved? Who is your God? Lord, thank you that you're establishing this church on the word of truth. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone that struggles, you recognize that you struggle with that, you can just keep your eyes closed. I'm not going to do a drawn-out thing. We don't have that much time, but I want to give you opportunity to respond. You don't have to look around. This is the Lord just wants your attention. He wants to speak to you now. If you struggle, maybe with doubts around who Jesus is and his heart towards you, then just raise your hand. I just want to pray for special grace for you. Thank you for those hands. Amen. Yes, Lord, I just want to give you thanks, Lord, that you are working in our midst, that already, Holy Spirit, you're revealing things to us, Lord. And I pray for those people, Lord, that have doubts, certain doubts and fears and confusion, Lord God, very specific doubts, Lord, you know what they are. I pray that in this week, Lord, you will reveal yourself to them and that you'll end the confusion in those areas, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, that you will reveal yourself to them, Lord Jesus. Reveal yourself to them, Jesus, for who you are, Lord. The Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just speak peace I just command peace over those people, Lord, where it's just such an inner struggle sometimes. Just this inner battle waging, Lord. I command peace over them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just reveal yourself to them, Lord, also as the Prince of Peace. And then for those that really, if you struggle with obedience, you hear the word, you understand the word, but it's just like you're struggling with obedience, to obey the word of God, really to apply it in your life. I want you to raise your hand. I just want to ask God just for special grace to bless you this morning. You just struggle to obey the word of God. Okay. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord God. Just thank you, Lord, for people just again just recognizing, Lord God, where they need, Lord, just a word of grace, Lord. And Lord, I just speak over them, Lord. There's grace to obey, Lord. By your Spirit, they will be obedient, Lord. And I just give you thanks for that, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, it's not going to be a place of striving anymore, Lord God. It's not going to be difficult to obey you, Lord God. But Lord, there's going to be a certain joy, Lord, like the joy that was set before you when you had to go to the cross, Lord. You obeyed. The joy was set before you. You knew why. You knew what it was going to bring. And I thank you, Lord God, that along with obedience comes a massive blessing from you, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you will just hold that before them as well. Just as an extra incentive, Lord God. Your heart is to bless them, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that they will no longer be bound by the enemy's lies and deception, Lord God. But Lord, thank you for grace to obey, especially for those people in Jesus' name. Thank you. Hallelujah. I feel also, I just felt a few things. I just feel there's someone here with an eating disorder. And I just want to pray for you. You can keep your eyes closed. If that is you, just raise your hand. I just feel there's someone here with an eating disorder. Okay. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you. If they're not here this morning, Lord God, but maybe just in the congregation as well, Father, I just thank you for grace, Lord God, just to step out of that cycle of self-rejection and hurt, Lord God. And your Father, I just thank you, Lord, for a revelation of your love for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, yeah. And specifically also, I feel that there's someone also, even last night, I don't know if you had a really, I think there's someone here, last night you had a really bad dream, someone specific, and, you know, it was really brought up really strong feelings of self-rejection. I don't know if that's anyone here, just raise your hand. Okay, thank you for that hand. Yeah, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord God. I just want to thank you for your love for that man, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just consecrate him. I just commit him into your care, Lord. I thank you that he's your child. He's your son, Lord. You paid the ultimate price for him. You love him so much, Lord God. And I just speak your protection over his sleeping time and, Lord, of his thought life, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that you've given him the authority to take every thought captive that wars against the knowledge of Christ, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that he can rest in peace knowing that he is loved by you, Lord. That he is so precious, Lord God, that he was not bought with silver or gold, but by your precious blood. And I just believe, Lord God, I just see just glittering, just diamonds, just something that's so beautiful, just magnificent, Lord God. And Lord, I thank you. You've got such an amazing plan for his life, Lord God. Something that's so beautiful. You're going to take all the hurts and the pain in his life, and you're going to turn it around, Lord God. You're going to give him beauty for ashes. And I just thank you for that. I bless him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for the time. I'd love to spend more time with you, but I think I'll be back in a few months from now. So maybe we can...